Well, welcome to Mom Time. How many are here for the first time? You've never been to a Mom Time session before. So a good amount of you. Okay, how many have been here and you have kind of been through Mom Time and you know about what I'm going to talk about? Go ahead and raise your hands. Go ahead. Okay, so look around. Those of you that are the first time, raise your hand. So see, we're all in this together. Now, I wanted to especially thank the Titus II moms who are here tonight. And I would just for this evening, next week we'll actually have special little cutie tags. But if you're a Titus II mom and if you're here this evening, would you please stand up? Because I would like to let everyone know what's happening. So these are our Titus II moms. So these gals are, yeah, definitely. No, keep standing. It's part of your aerobics for today. Come on. Okay. So the reason why it's important for you to get your eye on these gals is because at the end of every Mom Time session, we're going to have the Titus II moms be able to line up in the back, and I want you to see their faces and recognize them because they are who you'll go to if you have some special prayer needs or just need encouragement and counsel. So, okay, now you can sit down. Thank you. So I really appreciate each one of those gals so very, very much. One in particular, Judy, will you please stand up? Please, Judy Slaughter. I love you so much. So she's the first Mom Time. Just so y'all know, Judy has been like a second mom to me. I can't believe she's here. This is not going to go well. Last year we had a pandemic and Judy had to be home. So I'm just so thankful that she's here and that people have made it through. And I know that some of you have, you know, maybe in this room lost people who you know. We are going to look forward and say, okay, Jesus, thank you that you brought us through. And now where are you leading us to, right? And that's part of the beauty of the timing of this study, this time, that it is called the Romans Road. Because who would have thought that 2 years ago we would have all been where we have walked right now? You know, so I think figuratively it is, and practically speaking, it's a really good time for us to actually look at this. So I'm just going to go through a little bit of history, my own personal history, with because a lot of people go, how in the world does this apply to being a mom? It apply? But I have to tell you my history a little bit. So this is why I choke up so much when I think about Judy. So when I became a Christian, I was in high school. And that's one of the reasons why for this study, if you have kids who are at the high school level or college level, I am so glad you're here. And it is not too late to go grab friends and bring them here. It's definitely huge. I think this study is going to be so applicable to moms who are entering into the grandmother phase. And never ever has there been a time, you know, let's just say this century. I think my grandmother, who was born in 1900 and she passed away some time ago, but you know, she saw the roaring 20s. Okay, the roaring 20s could possibly be comparable to what we're going through now, but let me just tell you what the roaring 20s didn't have. They didn't have transition surgery happening. Okay, the pressure that our kids have right now, for you who are grandmas to be at this study, I want to commend you and thank you because the moms who are here have never needed your support more, never. There has not been a time like this where I feel that there's such an assault on children between the issue of deaths that it can occur pre-birth in the form of abortion, murder, as well as now an actual assault on those kids who are, you know, fully functioning, but not fully developed in their mind, and yet there's an attack on them. So I am so thankful that you're choosing to come, and for those who are online as well, because there's quite an online, almost double, in fact, I'd say more than who's in this room is actually online. There are people watching, And please pray for these people. There's a PA, my brother is a radiologist in Montana. His PA, long story, my brother writes me on New Year's Day and says, funny story, my PA was going on and on about this pastor that she listens to often. And, you know, my brother and I were from Southern Oregon, and this PA is from Southern Oregon. And so he kind of guessed that, oh, it must be somebody from Southern Oregon, you know. And she said, no, no. And he said, well, is it by any chance someone from, is it this name? And she said, yes, it's Brett Metter. And he just said, he could not believe it. He was like, oh my goodness, small world, what a small world. So, I pray for doctors right now. My brother and his PA were, you know, they were up against some pressure in terms of the vaccination and whatnot, and threatened that their jobs would be lost. And I think it was the day before, I think December 4th, he was going to be terminated. And this is Montana, guys. This is like, if you lose a radiologist, you got to drive 500 miles to find the next radiologist. So, you know, there was a lot of struggle. And my brother was very considerate towards the whole thing. He is not anti-vaccine, but it just didn't make sense for him, you know. So when it came down to it, now we're seeing the endemic happen, and they're just now starting to do the firing, which of people in this room know nurses and doctors, I'm sure. We have mom time moms who lost their jobs because they're nurses and they wouldn't get vaccinated. So all that to say, this is my bunny trail number one for today. The PA and my brother did not lose their job. The hospital the day before said, oh, we're gonna be okay, we'll keep you guys. Suddenly COVID knows that the date is okay between December 3rd and 4th, and so you're okay. So they got their job. That's good. I'm thankful. So, but be praying for our medical community, our teachers, all of them. Apparently, Oregon's dropping the mask mandate. I got two people sent me articles today. March 31st is the last day for indoor, right? We happy? That's good. That's very good. So I'm hoping that means little kids will be able to also not have masks. So I say that because bunny trail number two, our youngest daughter, Casey, who just had her birthday yesterday. She's 27, and she teaches fifth graders. And boy, doesn't she want her kids to be able to do this, take those masks off and see those happy faces. So that's what we hope for. Meanwhile, here at church, the co-op is busting from the seams. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of kids are doing that co-op. So be praying for so many things. So I'm batter up. The bat is coming. This is going to land somewhere. This is our job as moms, right? We're raising little ones. Some of you who, most everyone's here are married. Some people are not. If you've adopted, you know, wherever you're at, as far as being a mom, we're a part of a greater community. We have people in our life who we encounter every day who are facing really hard things, and you might be facing hard things. So I'm thankful for this time that we have to come together as moms and support each other and be in the Word and eat a little dessert, enjoy that bookstore. I've already heard compliments of moms who are really happy that they can go to the bookstore without their children because they can actually see what's in there. So that's really sweet too. So I do also want to say thank you. And normally the first session won't be this long, but this is kind of our starter. So I want to really thank Laura Stankus, who made the beautiful pavlova desserts and everything that's out there. So thankful. And every week she's going to be doing that. And you may have noticed this is a one-time thing. So the red donuts are also special. And this ties it in with just this, the part of us being connected as moms with one another. So some people might be familiar with the Auksher family, and they're our neighbors. Now, we live kind of out in the country now. We're 5 minutes from Fred Meyer, but it's country, you know, because we're across the river. When your neighbor is 2 miles away, that's your neighbor, because, you know, you have, like, everything's far apart. So the Auksher's actually lost their son, Elijah. I shouldn't say lost. I should say he's found because he's in heaven. But he had a heart condition, and it Jesus took him home. And so the Auksher family has been so kind, and I'm really mentioning this to you because you guys can get the word out. They're opening up a whole home that is available to parents who come into town, who need to use the hospital, who cannot afford a hotel. And it is so sweet, and it's called the Elijah Heart House. So take pictures of the donuts, put them on, you know, Instagram and do all your stuff that you guys do and make that baby fly, because it's really, really sweet that they did that. It's just a really special, special thing. That also ties in because this picture behind me is actually a picture of a ruins area in Rome. How does this tie in with the Aucher family? Okay, 3.5 years ago, Brett and myself and Brooke and Casey had the complete joy of doing the Paul's missionary journeys. And then over half, I think it was 120 people who came, and it was beautiful. And then about half of those people did a 3-day extension to Rome. Now, you guys, I think if anyone has seen me or heard me ever talk about the Italian horn that I wanted, because I have family members who were step family, but nevertheless, from Italy. And I, because when I was 8 years old, I saw the Italian horn that Italians wear, and I wanted to be Catholic because of them. I wanted to have the Italian horn because of them. I wanted to be them because I saw family, and I was like, mi familia, I wanted to be Italian. So for me to be able to go to Italy, I could not even believe it. But Mary Aucher was on that trip, sweet, sweet Mary. So she was the sister of Elijah who had passed away. So as the timing and everything of all the Romans wrote and all that goes, kind of merges together, we've got the opening up of a commemoration of sweet Elijah who went to be with Jesus. I've got memories of Mary and Kenzie, who is now my daughter-in-law. Praise Jesus. She's listening online. I love you, Kenzie. You're from the Lord, 100%. We were all on that trip together, and it was really, really sweet. So anyway, I just wanted to get you a little background into my current obsession with Rome. How it ties in, which was, see, bunny trail, a bunny trail, but, you know, we're here. When I was a teenager and became a Christian, Judy was such a major part of my life, just seeing her as a mentor, as a person who clearly, she laughs still to this day when I could tell. It was pretty, maybe it's because I was a teenager, and maybe it's because I had a sense for like social stuff, you know, from being in high school or whatever. But something told me that the line of 30 women that were waiting to talk to Judy kind of made me figure out, I think maybe she has something to do with Jesus, and there's a demand, you know, on her for this. So now all that, I think that was 40 years ago, maybe 40 years, maybe. Let's not say 45, but 40, you know. It was quite a while ago, and now she's outpacing everyone. I'm just letting you know that. Like, we should all actually feel bad. She literally, have you walked 2 miles every day the entire pandemic? Every day? 3 miles? Two? 2 miles every day the entire pandemic. I didn't do that. Well, say what? Okay, couple sick days. Couple sick days. For me, I'm like, out of 800 days, let's not count it. Anyway, so Judy's just been so sweet. So to come alongside me and encourage me to be in the Word as a teenage kid, you know, and what that looked like. And then some of you know the story of when, Brett came into my life and I was smitten by him and all of those things. So we'll get to all that stuff. And some of it, there's hints of some of these stories in the Romans Road book. It is outlined for you guys to be able to do every day an entry. But I want to make sure that you guys know, did everyone get your parchment? Did everyone open it up? Okay, so if you open up your parchment, and this is going to be your assignment for this week, we wanted you to have the feeling as if you were getting an actual letter. The problem is it would have been like 20 feet long if we would have. So it is columned out for you. It's front and back. And this is the book of Romans. But what we did was, and Jess Patel, who, now your hands are full with parchment so you can't clap, but we love Jess and she's a great designer, but I would say, oh, Jess, what if we do this? Okay, what if we do this? Okay, what if we do this? Okay. And so we figured out we wanted you guys to be able to read this parchment without the complication of the verse breaks and all of that. So we removed all of the sentences. So literally, this is your assignment. If you can get this in, which when you look at it this way, it doesn't seem so daunting. When I say to you, hey, I want you to read the book of Romans this week, this is it. It's just a two-page letter. You can do it. No, it's more, and I know it's for effect, but it is, I'm going to plan on doing that. Magnifying glasses and all, I'm going to plan on doing this. I know. It's a little bit small, but it would have been, there you go. So have fun with this. It's minimally just really, really pretty. And then also, did you all get your, do you love them? I love them. Do you actually think you're going to send one to anyone? Right? They're postcards. So just so you know, we are going to make up more of these because I do have a feeling that people are going to want to just kind of have these to send to people. So these are for yours to keep, all to yourself if you're kind of a semi-hoarder like me and can't get rid of things. But there are going to be more. And then we also made some enlargements too. So there's fun things that we have just kind of spinning off of this book. So back to why we're here. So the book of Romans, after my time of high school, I remember talking to forms of moms like Judy, and my mom at the time didn't quite understand, why are you taking a break? And I wanted to go to Bible school. I went to a Bible college down in California called Calvary Chapel Bible College, and it was in Twin Peaks, California. Up, beautiful, near Lake Arrowhead, down by the San Bernardino Mountains. And I was so naive that I thought every night we got this beautiful rainbow sunset. I had no idea it was because of all the smog from the valley, but I didn't care. I saw rainbow every night. It was pretty. I didn't care. But it was a really special, special time. It was a hard time because Brett and I had just started dating. We had been, I think, dating maybe 5 months or something. And I mean, it was dramatic when I left for Bible school. He shed tears. It was like, Brett never cries. He's cried. I've seen him cry 4 times. But he cried over me one of those 4. So, you know, he was listening to a dramatic song on his way back to his house after saying goodbye to me. So I drove down with a pile of Christian friends, and we went down to Bible college. I just wanted time in the Word. I wanted a time separated just from what I had known, what my life in my little Rogue Valley life was like. I wanted to bust out of that. And a lot of people bust out of the valley for bad reasons. And I thought, well, this isn't a bad reason. It is a little bit not making sense to my mom because she wanted me to go straight to college, but I needed it. So I went for this one semester, and then there was just a whole bunch of reasons why I came back. But I came back really, really changed because one of the books that was featured was the book of Romans. And I have to tell you, so my naivety about things, I mean, reading through and seeing that the word homosexuality was in the Bible, I was like, what? It's what? And people were like, yeah, it's not just in San Francisco. I was so like naive about things. I really was, I wasn't sheltered, but I just really thought that was a thing of the past, having no idea that the agenda was actually really moving forward and to get to where we are today. But at that time, when I realized, because we would go through classes, and then we'd have some quiet time, and then classes and quiet time, and it's just the way that day was structured. So the book of Romans just impacted me there's never been anything like it in my mind. And I'm not the only one who thought that. Martin Luther also thought that. He really felt like every Christian should read the book of Romans once a month, just as a tune-up, you know? Because he was a hardcore Catholic. Many people know Martin Luther as the one who he was responsible for the Reformation. And that was a change. That was a huge change. My family history goes back to Scotland and Catholicism and all of that. Breaking in the middle of that, Martin Luther discovers he is not saved by works. He is actually saved by grace. And for him to go from flogging himself tormenting himself over his salvation and the issue of whether or not he was saved, for the realization to hit him that he could receive by faith justification by no works of his own, but through Jesus Christ. It revolutionized him. It revolutionized, I think, the whole world, because from there we had a Gutenberg printing press, which that's when how we got our first Bibles printed, which then that means people could read them, and it wasn't just, you know, clinging to the Catholic lecterns and whatnot. Like, getting the Word of God into the hands of the people is hugely thankful to God because of his word in the book of Romans. So it's just a mind blower to me to think that, man, it is as applicable today as it was hundreds and hundreds of years ago, and I just love it. So inside your book, and if you guys don't have your books, you don't have to have them, but we did create the books so that you could make it easy for yourselves, because I know you're mamas, and sometimes it's hard to get the Bible and everything and all that stuff. So if you fly out the door and then you go, oh no, I didn't bring my Bible, don't worry, because we went ahead and put in this book each chapter. We made room for study notes for you so that you could take notes in the evening here. But we also made space so that you can journal at some points during the day. You know, maybe you skip a day or two. No pressure. I want to make sure this group knows there's no pressure. There is not a test. Okay? This is the no pressure study, okay? If you skip a few days, it's not difficult to sit down and do a whole week. Even, you know, I know how it is. Sometimes you get a chunk where you're like, wow, I actually have an afternoon where I have this opening and I could actually do. So feel free to do that. Don't feel like there's any pressure at all. Okay, I are you getting that I don't want you to feel pressured? I really hope that. Okay, good. That's great. Okay, so inside, you'll see one of the first things, which this is, I didn't rip this out. When Jess was doing the pre-printing, which is why I don't have it here, there's no binding, right? Because you have to check and everything, and that's all good stuff. So I thought, oh, this is cool. I'll just bring that book here tonight. No, Debbie Metter, you won't, because you will be the one who will get 100 pages all over everywhere. So I just have a few pages. But I did want to pull this out and show you the Romans Road and the Gospel of Jesus Christ. So this is the whole thing, right? The Romans Road starts with the problem of sin, and we're going to read through this. It's all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So you're going to come across that tomorrow, right? When you read the whole book of Romans. Romans chapter 3, verse 23. And then also tomorrow when you bust through the manuscript and you get through the whole book of Romans. In Romans chapter 6, it talks about the wages of sin. And the wages of sin is death. But then, now the Romans Road, it's not going to read like this. You're not going to go, oh, I'm reading chapter 3, and then I'm reading chapter 6, and then I'm reading chapter 5, and then I'm reading chapter 6. That's not how it is, but it's laid out for you this way. Chapter 5 is the love of God. For God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And then the free gift of salvation, going back to Romans 6, verse 23, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And then accepting the free gift, Romans 10, verses 9 and 13. If you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So that is the Romans Road in a little, one little page thing for you, a little document. But how does it apply to you as a mom, and how can you get that to your kids? So I think it's every day you see a demonstration, right, of the fact that if you have a discipline situation in your life, if you don't nip that in the bud early, your kids are a little bit older, and you see that problem get bigger, you have a problem. That's the very first point on here, the problem of sin, okay? What has Brett talked about regarding Samson, how it binds you, it blinds you, it grinds you, you know, that story, that symbol that we have of Samson, and how he was such a hero, but then sin really, really got him. And I think when you apply that to your parenting, it just gives you a very realistic expectation that in spite of the fact that you think maybe you've birthed a savior, you have birthed a sinner. That is just the truth. We have all not birth saviors. We have birth sinners. So we have a problem with sin. But during this 5 weeks, it's really important also that what applies to your kids also applies to yourself. So you're going to see a lot, especially in this first week, you're going to see a lot of information coming that's just regarding and explaining what the gospel is, what that actually means, what it actually is to recognize sin for sin. And the reason why that's so important is because we don't want to demonstrate a life of hypocrisy to our kids, do we? I mean, that just makes kids turn away and not want to walk with the Lord. Many of you are back with the Lord now because you spent a time away from God because of that very thing. It sickens us to see hypocrisy, and yet it's so easy to live a life that is filled with it. So that's, we're gonna be really leveling on this whole thing. This, you're not getting out of this and feeling great about humanity. After, you know, the first week when I was working on this, the first week that you're going to read, I remember, and I'll backtrack just to give you background. So this book was written this summer, and Judy Pierce, I wanna thank you for just your eyes, because I literally had myself locked in my room. I had a room. It was a crazy situation, you guys. Oh, my goodness. So some of you also know the crazy that Brett and I went through about 3.5 years ago, where we, well, actually 5 or 6 years ago. I thought it would be a fun adventure to sell our house and buy a knocker downer and then do the construction and live on the premises while they're doing construction and have all four of us, me, Brooke, and Casey, and Brett and I, all living in an 800 square foot garage conversion while we were doing the building process, which actually took 3.5 years, not 2 like we thought. And I told Brett this, but oops, he forgot. And so finally when we got into the house, I wanted to die. So that house, the kitchen that I have, which I'm so thankful, a really sweet gal who does production for KitchenAid wanted to do this launch. So I was like, yeah, are you kidding me? That will be awesome. We are going to the beach. I will take that money and go on vacation. So what I did not know is that I just really, you know, I try really hard to put into Brett's schedule, hey, honey, we're going to do a staycation. So I don't know if you guys have noticed, but Brett doesn't really miss church very much. So our staycation turned into his regular Monday days off, and then he was back at it, you know. And so this was supposed to be that this commercial thing was going to get filmed in our kitchen, and we were supposed to be gone because we were going to be staycationing and doing things like going to the beach and coming back home and going to the beach. No, it didn't really work out that way. So Brett actually was like, peace out. I am going to be getting back to my normal schedule. But I didn't have anywhere to go because when they come in and do stuff like that, there's camera, box gear, like your whole house, there's no space. So it was hilarious, and it was also a time where I knew the deadline was coming for me to get this book done, and I literally sat on this little couch in my little room, office thing, and I was like, well, it's just me. I'm looking at the dog in his crate, and I'm like, hey, Winston, I have to write this. So I was sitting there just writing like all day, because they would come early at 6 in the morning, 5 in the morning, and then they would be there until 8 o'clock at night. So meanwhile, I was sending Judy things because I was like, Judy, I might be insane. I'm not sure. Could you take a look at this and just make sure that I'm on the right track here? And so that was, she read it, bless her heart. I think I was into week 2.5 or 3 or something, and I was just, as I was writing, I was sending everything to Judy, just sending it to her. And then Pastor Gabe looked at it. We always have Pastor Gabe look at things, you know, theologically, which, by the way, I just want to tell you, these mugs, the just shall live by faith and a little bit of coffee. Mm-hmm. I got approval from Pastor Gabe on that, so I was like, I just want to make sure we're not being heretical, but he's like, no, you're just having a sense of humor. It's okay. So anyway, so that's the story of how I was cooped up, but it turned out to where it was a blessing, because all this that had been turning in me for 38 years when I was at Bible school, I just had such a burning desire to be able to share just the beauty of God's grace with you. And I don't think it was other groups. I think it was you who are here in front of me now. I think just the way that the Lord has pieced together our lives, and I mean all of us, because we've all been through the past couple of crazy years, and I think the way that he's pieced together my kids being grown the way they are now, and I'm not a grandma, because trust me, when I become a grandma, I'm peace out. You will not see me. I will forget about it. So, I mean, I don't know. I might be able to do mom time still. I'm sure I could. But I'm going to be, like, horribly infatuated with these kids, right? So I'm excited. So, yeah, they're talking about it. That's why. It's on the radar. I can actually say that, too. I can actually say that. I'm not being pushy. Some of you have been to the mom times before. I've told you, like, I've got to put the seatbelt on and hang on, because I don't want to be the pushy mother-in-law. But there, it's actually okay for me to mention it now. So that's kind of fun. So anytime now. Anytime. Anyway, I'm just having fun with you guys as a group. So back to the book of Romans. So as it goes with kids, when you have your kids, at first you think, oh my goodness, could it be any sweeter? And then about 18 or 20 months later, you go, yes, it could. You know, and you think, wow, I'm so glad I loved this child so much when he or she was born, because now I could maybe go to jail. Wow. But that's the acknowledgement that there is a problem of sin. When we get to the second section on the Romans road, the wages of sin, I want to make sure that we know the wages of sin is death, where we don't mean physical, okay? Because praise the Lord, Jesus took that actually on the cross. We can die to ourselves. We can die to our human nature. We can die to our anger and our angst and our anxiety that we feel regarding our kids and how they're being raised and how did they do today? There's so much of that we can do inside of our minds, and it's really important for us to understand, because we all are on the same playing field. We're all sinners. Your child is a sinner. You are a sinner. We're sinners. It's okay for you to give yourself a break in terms of allowing the grace of God to free you up in your home. There are so many things that we think we're doing. This culture that we're in, and it's worldwide, I know, and it's gotten worse because of social media and whatnot. We can truly think, and you see it all the time on, like, the little kiddos that are doing, they're this big and they're doing the miniature Miss America contest or whatever. You know, we're not raising trophy children. We're not, you know, and it's really, really important to understand that. It's so freeing for you to understand, because I'm a sinner, saved by the grace of God, I have been commissioned, and you'll read that in Romans chapter 1, where Paul says he is a servant, he is a bondslave, he has chosen, been chosen by God, elected. Those words apply to you. By faith and grace, we have been saved. And that's a beautiful thing, because I think the enemy wants us to feel ripped off as moms, like because we lived a certain way maybe before we were Christians, or because of whatever, you know, there's a lot of things that the enemy wants to throw at us, certain things, damaged goods or whatever, or divorced or whatever it is, okay? Pregnancy out of wedlock, whatever the situation is, that is something that is from the enemy, and we do not walk by that. We do not walk by the enemy's words. We walk by God's word. And that's one of the reasons why in the workbook, I felt it was important for us just to make sure and get the scripture out there so that you had actual, you could read it. Because I understand that everyone's going to have, you're scraping by to try to get 5 or 10 minutes to go through a couple of days. Maybe you'll have a second in your kitchen and there's your workbook. Maybe your Bible's not nearby. So rather than have the distraction of going to find it, it's already in there. But I really, really want you guys, if there's anything I want this takeaway of mom time for this session to be, it's grabbing on to the word of God and applying it to your everyday life, you know? Yes, we are sinners, but we're sinners saved by grace. And God is good. He is good. And bad things do happen to us. Bad things have happened to us. Bad things will happen to us. But it is not because of anything that you have done. We just live in a fallen world. God is so good. He will try us, sometimes in the form of our children, but he will try us to get us to that place where he is. What does the Bible talk about? We're clay. He's molding us. He's shaping us. And kids shape you. Kids shape you. They're also a real good reflection of where you're at. They're like little mirrors rolling around. And I know, you want to do the dice and roll the dice and go, I'm going to roll the dice and say, that DNA's from you. That's from the dad. It's not from me. You know, it's so easy to do that. But we have to be honest with ourselves and say, no, there's a problem of sin. The wages of sin is death. Now, how are we going to get to this kid? How are we going to get to ourselves? Right? Confessing that Jesus is Lord. Now you just turned into a missionary as a mom. Now every day it's your job to minister the gospel of grace to your sweet little ones. And it's every day. Every day. Even when they're grown, every day. And that's a challenge for the grandmas who thought, yep, your time's done. No, it is not. You're still called, you're still elected, you're still chosen. We have a calling on our life to share Christ throughout the rest of our life until we take our final breath to share Christ. So that's our goal and that's our mission. The love of God, as Romans 5:8 says, God showed his love to us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So we can be encouraged, really, as we're talking to our kids and as we're talking to one another, as you're asking for prayer, you know, how can I show the love of God more? How can I actually do that? How can I become a mom that's going to actually demonstrate that to my kids? And you know what? It's not going to always be in the form of making them cookies, as good as that is. It's not going to be in the form of, you know, getting them to where they need to go. Those things are all true. Sometimes it's going to be in the form of saying no. Sometimes that's actually the most loving thing you can do. Ask a drug addict, a recovered alcoholic, what was the kindest thing that ever happened to them. And they will tell you it was the day that they had the, what's it called? Yep, intervention. Yep, you need to do an intervention with your child, okay? Interventions are strong. It's a strong thing that happens. When it happens, it's powerful. People that I know who have participated in or been a part of that, it's the most powerful day of their life, and they'll never be the same. Every day, you get to be an intervener. I mean, every day. Because, see, we're addicted to sin. That's something that you're going to see when you go through this workbook. You're going to realize, wow, we stink. We stink at being good. And the Bible is so clear. It says, there is no one that does good. No, not one. There is no righteousness apart from Jesus Christ. Our mouths are an open sepulcher, a grave. You can floss, you can use all the mouthwash you want. It is an open grave. We do not have life on our own. We are dead on our own. Amen. Out of the mouth of babes. But God is good. And that's what, see, so we don't have to become disheartened. When you have to say the no, you don't have to be disheartened in that. You can be confident in that. And the Titus 2 moms that stood up, those ladies are your biggest cheerleaders. They are your biggest cheerleaders. They will literally help you develop plans for your home. All right? If you need structure, if you need help and support, they're there for you totally. And they'll be able to pray with you too and call and make home visits. And even if it's things like, how do I actually get my day more organized? How do I actually make a meal and actually do the laundry at the same time? I mean, I'm still learning that myself and my kids are grown. So, you know, they're here for all of us. Then the free gift of salvation. Be praying about that for your kids. The Bible says that it is the Holy Spirit that draws all men to himself, to Jesus. It's the Holy Spirit. You guys, you're just setting up the shot. You know, it's going to be the Holy Spirit that's going to pull on your kids. Each one of my children have a different salvation story. I'm so thankful that they're all walking with the Lord. And for anyone here who still has a child to come to know the Lord, or you're wondering how do you actually go about making sure your kids are saved, making sure your salvation is secure, go to the Titus 2 Moms. Go to Jesus first, but go to the Titus 2 Moms. And then accepting the free gift. Accepting the free gift is huge. Kids are going to see in you what you're learning. This is one of the biggest reasons why I think going through the book of Romans over the next 5 weeks is huge for us. Because as we learn to accept that free gift of grace, knowing that we're not saved by any of our own merit, but it's just Jesus and Jesus only, your kids are going to see that. And they're going to see the difference between doing something that's good and receiving acceptance, which is not, that's not the way God does. He sees us. He unconditionally loves us for who we are in our dead state. And he takes us and he makes us alive. And that's the thing. See, your kids can just be like all for doing good things, totally knowing that you love them the way that they are, that you accept them, but because you love them, you're gonna help reshape them. Just like Jesus is reshaping me, you can say, Jesus is reshaping mommy too. He has to do things sometimes that are really hard, and that's okay. For all of us to be good with God shaping us and molding us because he loves us, not because of judgment against us. The judgment was done at the cross. It's just one of the sweetest things. And I'm really excited for you to be able to take flight with that in your home. It's a real honor to be able to do this with all of you guys. And I'm so, so thankful. As you apply the Romans Road to your marriage, same thing. The problem of sin. How many made it past a month without getting in an argument after you got married? Hmm? You made it 1 month? Good for you. Hmm. Somebody else? Yeah, most people realize really quickly, oh, maybe he's a sinner too. Huh, go figure. It's the same cycle. You can say, the problem of sin, and apply it to your husband. The wages of sin is death. Man, if we continue with this behavior, it's going to create death within our marriage. We don't want that. Jesus died on the cross. Why would we not go to him? Why would we not confess our sins to one another, say we're sorry, tell the person that they were right, say that you were wrong, receive forgiveness, and move on? Why would we not do that? It's a free gift. Well, on page 63, no, just kidding, there is a section in there that talks about how just our human nature. Okay, we've got pride, we've got issues, and you're going to read all about that. You're going to read it tomorrow, right? When you do your thing, you're going to read it tomorrow. There's a couple of chapters in there that have some pretty good lists, and the lists are, we highlighted a few of them, and the reason why is to give you guys just kind of a reset in your home, because definition of terms is a funny thing. And right now the world is trying to redefine everything. But we do a pretty good job of just setting out, this is exactly what it says. And if you read those words and take some time to look up those words, I know the Lord's going to minister to your hearts. So I'm really excited about that too. But I do want to warn you, don't feel so sunken as though you're completely without hope. What I was getting to before my 50th bunny trail, right? I was like this. I had sent some stuff off to Judy, and I came into the church, and I saw Tad, Judy Slaughter's son, and I was like, Tad. He goes, yeah, how's it going? And I said, I'm working on the Romans Road. He goes, oh, yeah, well, how's it going? And I said, we're horrible. And he said, yep. And I said, I'm really trying to figure out, you know, a way to like make this not be so bad. And he said, good luck. At first I was like, ooh, bummer, there's no shortcut. But then I actually felt relieved because of the Romans Road. The problem of sin, the wages of sin is death, the love of God, right, that is given to us, and the free gift of salvation. And then accepting that free gift. I promise you, that's the only thing that's going to make all this better. Okay? I feel like I'm giving you tickets and you're all going to go and watch the worst, you know, dreadful movie of your life. Here you go. Have fun. But the point is, yes, you actually are. You're about ready to embark on a journey of seeing how gross humanity is. And some of those things are going to pertain to you and some of those things won't. Some of those things will pertain definitely, oh, for sure, someone else in your family, right? But forgiveness, you know, the wages of sin is death. We don't want any robbery happening within our home. We don't want the enemy coming in and robbing our home of the joy of life that we can have. So I'm excited for the next 5 weeks. I'm really glad you all came. I hope that you were able to get a dessert and take one home. And for those of you who are online, I really appreciate your time as well. And please reach out if there's any questions that you have. I'm so thankful that we're able to receive those questions and answer you back. And in the back of the book, there's actually an address and contact number. And when I say address, I don't mean snail mail. I mean in the very back, we would love to hear from you. And it has the phone number and it has, you know, the email and then how to hashtag if you want to hashtag. You know, just saying. So we're going to have fun. It's going to be good because God is good. He's given us everything we need to equip us for the life that we are living. And it's good. This journey is good. It's not always easy, but it's a wonderful, beautiful, beautiful journey. And I can't wait to see you next week. Feel free to invite friends, and let's pray. Dear Lord, I just thank you so much for this precious time that we've had tonight. I thank you for every woman here and the family that she represents. I thank you for the ones who are online listening, people who are sick and not feeling well. I pray for your healing hand to be with them, Lord. God, I just thank you that you make it easy for us, really, because you tell us that if we confess that Jesus is Lord, your Son who you sent, Lord, that we will be saved. I'm so thankful, Lord, that we can communicate that to ourselves and our children, our friends, Lord. We know that this earth is dying, and we know that we're dying. But we thank you, Lord, that you have given us spiritual renewal, spiritual life, eternal life. We know that you have given us your Holy Spirit here, but we thank you, Lord, that when we do have our last breath here on earth, we will be eternally in your presence. And we're thankful for that, Lord Jesus, because of the gift you've given us by dying on the cross. And because you lived the life you lived and because you were obedient and raised from the dead, Lord, we're so thankful for eternal life. And I just pray for the homes represented here that there would just be a churning within the souls of all of us, Lord, that we would come to you, that we would bask in your goodness, that we would give you praise and glory in our homes, that if there's things that are really not happening that are good in our homes, that you would, by your power and by your spirit, that you would bring those things to the forefront so that we can know what's happening, and you will give us the mommy radar that's needed in order to figure it out and clean up our homes. And I pray that you would just empower these ladies, give them safety as they drive home this evening. I thank you so much again for our time, and I pray that you would bless the rest of the evening. In Jesus' name, amen.